Hey y'all, Mackenzie Johnson here. Before you take in this episode, I wanted to give you some updates of some things that have changed since we initially recorded it in 2021. In season 5, you're going to hear us reference the CDC milestone checklist quite a few times, a great reference that we have for understanding when children typically accomplish certain developmental milestones. Well, since we recorded it, the CDC has updated those checklists. In the versions we refer to in these episodes, it's essentially that timeline is at an average. About 50% of kids may have done a task at that age, and about 50% haven't. So know that what you will hear when we're referencing the CDC milestones in season 5 episodes like this one is an average of when an average child does a developmental task. The changes that they've made to the CDC milestones that are current is more of when to know when to seek help or additional assistance. You can hear more about those changes and really get into the nitty-gritty of those changes in our bonus episode on the topic of the CDC milestone changes. But for now, please enjoy the developmental information we share here in season 5.
Welcome to the Science of Parenting podcast, where we connect you with research-based information that fits your family. We're going to talk about the realities of being a parent and how research can help guide our parenting decisions. I'm Mackenzie Johnson, parent of two littles with their own quirks, and I'm a parenting educator.
And I'm Lori Cordles, parent of three in three different life stages. One is launched, one is in college, and one is in high school. And I am also a parenting educator. And today we are going to be talking about the research and reality around preschoolers.
Yes. And I live with one. I got things to say, guys. I got things to and stories to tell. Oh, that's awesome. Yes. So we are going to be looking at, you know, this season, we're really digging into this idea of like the developmental milestones and what's it like to parent, you know, kids of different ages. And so again, those milestones are things that are typically expected of kids by a certain age. And we're going to be talking about them in general, but do know that, and remember, I should say know and remember that each kid develops at their own pace. I can say even in my house, I had one that was pretty early and one that was a little later. So every kid kind of develops at their own pace, whether early, right on time, or a little later, and that you're the expert on your kids. And so our role is just to provide you with some research-based information about your kid's development. You get to decide what's best for them and your family.
You do. And also recognize that there are many factors that affect the rate of development in children. Of course, there's temperament, which you can listen again to season 3, the episodes where we shared about how temperament affects our parenting. Well, it also affects children's development. Other things that impact development could include the environment that children are living in, the genetics, and so much more. So if you do have concerns about your child's development, we recommend that you talk to your family health care provider or your local area education agency.
Yes, but, because we're given the general, right? But if you got questions, there's great resources to take.
Exactly. So in the meantime, let's talk about the definition of preschoolers, according to the CDC, who says that this is the ages between 3 and 5.
Yes, which sounds right, like pretty straightforward. We talked about in our previous episodes, there was some debate around toddlerhood versus infanthood. That's still kind of the case, right? Some people say it's about the age of 3 to 5, and others say it's about more about like the stage of, well, it's really once a child starts preschool.
Exactly. And as we think about the ages of preschool, you know, you said you lived with a child who is this age. So what do you think is great and tough about this stage?
There's a lot of both. Okay. One thing that I think is great, I talked about in the episode on like infants, like, oh, we love our babies, but they like need a lot from us.
Yes.
I am really enjoying the independence part of having a preschooler, right? They can get themselves dressed in the morning most of the time. And like, you're hungry, you can grab a snack, kind of stuff. And so I'm really enjoying a little more of that. Yes. I think that's great. And also, I just feel like they get funny in preschool. Like they understand things a little more. So they've got like a good sense of humor. And so I do. I think that's great about preschool. What do you think is great about preschoolers?
So I taught preschoolers, and I have to say that before I had children, I would tell you that like, this is my favorite thing ever. Preschoolers are my favorite thing. And you know, one of those things that you said was, you know, their humor, they're learning more, but some of the best stories that I have about my children are from their preschool age. And it might be phrases that they've said. Yes. So one phrase that one of my older daughters said was, "We want to go to the swimming pool, right, mommy?" Oh. And so I thought, isn't she right? No, you know,
yes, the swimming she's so
pool
right.
is where you get cool.
Yeah, cool down.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, another phrase she would say is the phrase, "I need my lip gloss." And I thought, okay, she's kind of right. You know, it makes us glittery and glitzy, and it's our lip gloss. And then the last one was, we always ate grilled cheese for grilled cheese. You know, so those things they're learning, and they are like deadpan serious.
Yes.
We need to have some grilled cheese, mommy. You know, like there. So anyway, that's one of my favorite things about this age is just that they're learning, and what they're learning comes out in so many different ways that lots of great stories.
There is. I'll say there are some tough things too, right? Like it, you know, just like every stage, it's got some things that are great and some things that are challenging. I think for me, one of the tougher things is like, there's so much energy and interest and curiosity from my daughter at this age about like what other people are doing and how like society and norms and roles. And she talks so much about like traditions, like she must have picked up that word at preschool, but like, this is our tradition in our family. This is our tradition. Yes. But so, which maybe is a little bit of her less adaptable temperament too, if I'm honest. But I think some of that is like, I feel like there's so much to teach around like the context of things. Like, okay, well, the reason that so-and-so is doing this is because, right? Or when you're doing this with your friends. And so I just feel like there's a lot of, which is great, but like, got to be on my game. I got to be ready.
Oh, absolutely. It's a different kind of being on your game with preschoolers. Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. So, well, let's look at some of those different changes and challenges and great things that happen during this kind of age area. And we're going to speak about it in terms of categories or domains. And again, as you think about these, you know, they're different parts of development across the board in general.
Absolutely. And so we're kind of leaning on a textbook by Patterson for our episode today that gave us some kind of great overarching ideas about those developmental domains or categories. But if you'd like more specific information on kind of the really nitty gritty specific tasks preschoolers work on, the Center for Disease Control has a great app that I could go on and on about, but called the Milestone Tracker by the CDC, research based. And it's great. You can check little boxes of like, yes, my child does this, but it helps you track their development as well as keep an eye for red flags if you do have concerns. So, but for today, right, speaking in general terms, let's open up talking about this physical domain or category. With our preschoolers, we know that they're working on a lot more of their fine motor and gross motor, right? They've mastered most of the walking and that kind of stuff for a typically developing child, but more of the nitty gritty of, you know, using scissors and picking up chalk or crayons to write, you know, a lot of those fine motor things, but also mastering more of the gross motor. Like, it's been a big deal in our house, my daughter learning to like gallop versus skip, right? Like the difference between those and mastering them and doing jumping jacks, like a lot more specific gross motor and fine motor stuff. So that, and then we also see in preschool, that's where we really start to figure out more of which, you know, we say handedness, but like, do you have a lefty or a right-handed child? And so that also tends to appear in preschool because they've been mastering that fine motor.
Absolutely. They've been starting to utilize utensils as toddlers. And and then as preschoolers, those utensils turn into crayons and pencils and scissors. And I literally remember thinking finally in preschool, okay, like my daughter actually is left-handed. You know, I didn't, she wasn't just playing around with the spoon and the fork in her left hand. She's learning to write left-handed. Okay. Yeah. I now have to think about things differently because I'm right-handed. So yeah, that is definitely one of those things I remember about preschool. Okay. So how about cognitive or thinking, that part of our brain, or the category that we'll specifically think about, envision the brain neurons and pathways in the head, you know, coming together.
Word picture.
What are the things that are happening on those pathways with children? So in the cognitive development or the thinking or intellectual development, we talk about pretend play and this idea of exploring role playing and kind of playing out. How does this happen? How does this happen? You might hear children say, okay, you say, or you might have them hear them verbally launching through the script during their pretend play. They're putting things in sequence and in order. And another thing to think about during this stage is that they're still very egocentric, or they're really only capable of thinking about themselves. Yes, they're playing more with their friends and they can think about their friends, but those internal things that drive them are very centered on themselves. They're not necessarily able to take the perspective of their friend, even though they're playing right next to their friend. And
absolutely.
And as we think of that, we'll learn to think of others, but not just yet.
Yes. And actually, there's two kind of E words that come to mind as I think about the cognitive development of a preschooler, and it's egocentric and empathy. So egocentric, yes, being where they kind of naturally are at, but empathy being the skill that we're helping them develop. You know, we do this by modeling, you know, like, oh, like, how might you feel if this happened? You know, if someone hit you, if someone took this away, if, you know, we help them practice and learn about that empathy. But the reality is their brain is still not ready to do that very abstract thing of like, I understand what this other person might be experiencing. Yes. That's like a very hard thing. And even when they can practice empathy, you know, sometimes they're like, oh, good job. That was so sweet. But exactly. It's not happening all the time, right? They're still working on it.
They are. So what about some, maybe we could quickly run through a couple of strategies for how we can help children learn about their empathy or their egocentrism. So when I think of egocentrism, I think of sharing. So as toddlers, yes, we talked a lot about, you know, this idea of sharing, and it's still there as preschoolers. Like when we're asking them to share, we are still asking them to give away something that is very important to them, even though to us as the adult, it may seem like something trivial. And, you know, they're still at preschool age, not able to share regularly. They might share one day, but not the next. What do you do at home with your preschooler and sharing?
Well, I can say one, even with someone as a background in child development, realizing that kids aren't really mastering and getting a lot better at that ability to share until like older four. You know, so really at the end of this stage is when they really can get pretty good at it consistently. But realizing that was like, okay, I need to figure out what else we're going to do.
Yes.
So one thing we do is, you know, my daughter, there's something she just doesn't want to share, right? Like she has like a little stuffed animal. That's her favorite stuffed animal. And heck, I can say that I have stuff that I'm not going to, like, I don't want to share this with you. This is mine and I'm an adult.
This is my cheesecake. You may not have any.
Yes, I am not willing to share that. But so I do, especially like if my daughter were to have like friends coming over, or I can anticipate a situation where she might be expected to share. I sometimes, you know, like, are there some things that are special? You know, like if she just had a birthday and a brand new toy she's really excited about.
Yes.
Like, is there something you're not ready to share? And if so, let's go ahead and like, let's put that away. Let's put it in your room. Let's set that aside so that it doesn't, you know, cause conflict.
Absolutely.
So that's one thing that we kind of do. Another one is, you know, thinking about opportunities for maybe turn taking instead of sharing, thinking about it as like, we both need to use this, or I need to give it away. And instead, like, you know, I can see that you're really invested in this block tower that you're making, mm-hmm. and there's not a lot of blocks. What if, how much time do you need to finish working on this? Mm-hmm. You know, and then finding a way to engage my, you know, her younger sibling or a friend or something. And yes. Oh, we set a timer for that amount of time. And so it is sharing, right? We're building those skills, mm-hmm. but not in the way of like, you need to share that at the same time with another child.
I love that. And you really talk about essentially, how can we solve this problem? How can we solve yes. this issue? And it is an issue, or it is a problem to the preschooler, because they're not able to take on that other person's role. And so that other E word, egocentric, yeah. you know, that's what we have to teach them and model how to feel what someone else feels. They aren't just naturally going to feel it. So if we see that maybe our friend hit another friend, we might say something like, oh, do you see that Jimmy is crying? Oh, what do you think we could do to help Jimmy feel better? And maybe the children can come up with more ideas on how to help Jimmy feel better. But what the children learned was, oh, Jimmy's crying. Gosh, I cried too. This is what makes me feel better. And we've seen children share their own stuffed animal with Jimmy because it made me feel better, but Jimmy is crying and this is what I do when I cry. Yes. So just that idea of modeling and teaching and helping children, give them the words. Well, how can I make them feel better?
Yes. I think that hints right into another thing. So we talk about sharing a lot in mm-hmm. preschool, right? There's a lot of social development happening, which we'll get to. But also this idea of like, when there's conflict, which happens when you're playing mm-hmm. with a friend or a sibling.
Yes.
Like having kids say sorry, right? But I love the idea of how can we make it better? Instead yes. of, you know, because as adults, we're able to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. Like, you know what? I did this. I stepped on your toes. I'm sorry. That must have hurt. But a preschooler is thinking like, well, I'm just playing. I wasn't trying to hurt them. Like, mm-hmm. and so that idea of an apology, that's one way to help make things better. But yeah, mm-hmm. there's lots of other ways too.
There definitely are. And again, remembering that their brains are making connections. Their brains are learning how to solve problems. And as adults, we have all of this history to fall back on, but those little brains, they actually really don't have all that history.
Yeah, they don't have as much experience as we do yes. with those kinds of things. So that brings us to our next domain, which is language. And so, right, we know that like language explosion, we talked about that happens mm-hmm. in toddlerhood, but we see that preschoolers have a much wider vocabulary, right? They're learning and understanding more about like the grammar and the structure of language that they speak. You know, I think of like the hold versus like held, holded.
Yes.
I holded this. I helded. Mm-hmm. you know, and so they're learning a lot more about that. They're kind of exploring with that language a little bit. And we know that our preschoolers, you know, we talk about talk to your babies, help mm-hmm. your toddlers find words. Well, same thing with preschoolers, have conversations with them, explain, use interesting words and explain them, right? Like, oh, are you familiar with this word? Okay. If not, here's an explanation for it. Our kids really benefit and it helps them get ready to be school age kids too, since they'll be learning to read.
It does. But
one of the other things that I love about a preschooler when it comes to language is they can now use their words to like persuade people. Like,
oh yes.
I hear so much of the phrase all the time at our house is like, I have an idea. Like, I have an idea. Why don't we? And then after that, mom, you could. Mm-hmm. She'll suggest like, mom, you can have coffee and I will get, right?
Like, yes.
And I'll do this other thing. And it's like, I see you here. I see you trying to convince me. But it's a new ability that they have to like,
it is.
I can explain what I want to you and I can maybe even encourage you to go along with it.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the other thing about this age is now that they have all these new words, they like to test them out. And I love the way that Barb Dunn-Swanson was sharing with us the idea of how do they know which words are appropriate and which words aren't? Because they honestly just hear us using all these words. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe we might accidentally slip in a word or two that is more appropriate for adults than children. I can think of a few words that I might use, you know, to express myself when I drop something on my toe. And then we don't really express maybe at that time to our child how these words have impact. And so children are just testing words at this age. And I always think about questions I would get as a preschool teacher, you know, the idea of when they use these words that are maybe not as appropriate for young children, what should I do? What should I say? And one strategy that we can use is to think about the reactions we give to all words. Mm-hmm. So we have physical, facial, body reactions to all words, right? Sometimes we laugh at their words. Sometimes we frown at their words. And so these new words that they're testing, these maybe these four-letter words that they're testing as preschoolers, we actually think about our reactions. And so I know that sometimes I maybe snickered or giggled when I heard these words unexpectedly. And that was a reaction I had. And so children watch us all the time for our reactions to their behaviors, to their movements, to their words. And so I think one strategy to use when we have these language surprises is the idea of no reaction. So as hard as it might be to stifle that snicker or to, you know, crinkle those eyebrows, how can we in this preschool age really give zero reaction to those surprising words that come out so very unexpectedly and often in the right context? How, you know,
like, okay, that is how you would grammatically and structurally use that. I don't know that I want you to.
Yes.
So, the language, but mm-hmm. then in the emotional, right? You want to walk us through a little bit of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this emotional category then talks about the idea of developing self-concept or having more fear at this age. I know that my middle daughter was very afraid of clowns and puppets at this age. Even though when we think about the long-running television show that had puppets, live puppets on, that was very much for preschoolers. But in person, those puppets are a very different thing. Mm-hmm. They definitely have some self-regulation and impulse control abilities, but it is not consistent. It is more consistent than with toddlers, but it is not consistent. And for us to expect 100% control is really pretty unrealistic. We're talking maybe 60-40, depending on their temperament, right?
In the day,
did they get enough sleep? Are they hungry, right?
Absolutely. And okay, so one of the things I love about emotional development that fascinates me both as a parent and as someone interested in child development, this idea that preschoolers aren't really yet able to differentiate between fantasy and reality. Mm-hmm. And so, that's why sometimes movies can feel scary, right? Movies mm-hmm. or television shows can be scary to kids. Or even like in our house, we recently talked about mermaids, and it's like, mermaids are a fun idea, but mermaids are pretend. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of conversation in the preschool age. And it's one of the reasons why kids can have a lot of fear, right? We talked about kids having more fear as preschoolers, and it's related to, I don't know if this idea of a monster, mm-hmm. is that real or is that pretend?
Exactly.
Maybe there's animals that seem scary. Are those real or are those pretend? And so navigating all of that, we do a lot of explaining a lot of our kids. We real or fake, mom? I hear a lot of that, mom. Like, okay, this idea, real or fake?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the last area is social development. So that's the last domain we're looking at. And we know tons of this with preschoolers. When they were toddlers, they maybe like played side by side with another child. Mm-hmm. In preschool, we can really see them work cooperatively, right? There might be several kids playing a game of house or, you know, playing something outside. And yeah, like we talk about lots of role taking, right? They're practicing. What does it look like around my house? Lots of house roles. That's why the kitchen set and all that stuff are such classic toys. We also see that they're learning and exploring gender roles and norms. Totally typical and awesome for kids to be exploring that. And that can also, as they think about these gender norms, they can tend to prefer similar gendered peers and friends. And so, yeah, there's a lot of great development. Kids are exploring the roles in the world and how society works. And it's great to see them kind of start, right? Not always getting it.
Exactly.
But to start to cooperate and play with others.
Exactly. And one other thing in this whole social arena comes in this idea of teasing. And so preschoolers are actually not very good at differentiating because of what you also talked about, or what we also talked about in the fantasy, what's real and what's not real, that whole idea of teasing. So in the social realm of, you know, playing with children who are older or even adults, they don't actually understand when someone says, "I'm going to take your teddy bear and throw it away."
Yes.
Like, to the preschooler, that's super real. And, you know, at this age, they can, depending on their temperament, become very emotional about that social teasing. So
that's such a good point. And that's totally something, you know, I have a preschooler. That's something we're navigating, you know, with like family and friends. And it is like a way some people try to show affection and like get along and play with a kid. And yeah, sometimes, you know, teaching my daughter the words of like, it's okay to say, "I don't like that." Like, yes. "I don't like when you tease me about that." Yes. But it is, it's a real reaction because why would you do that? Why would you say that?
Right? Like, my teddy bear.
Mine. So in your own experience, you know, I know you have experience as a preschool teacher and raising preschoolers, you know, having had preschoolers yourself. What stands out to you about this stage?
I loved teaching preschool. I love the preschool brain. Of course, you knew I was going to say that. I love teaching preschoolers about their temperament and how to work with things that they got genetically. And the thing I had to always remind myself about preschoolers was this: their brains are 4 years old, 48 months, 4 years. Which means that they actually have 21 more years that those brain neurons are going to connect and make pathways and roadways in their heads, which helped me oftentimes to lower that expectation bar.
Yes.
And remember that, you know, at some points in times, just because a child had all this language did not mean that their control or self-control was ever going to be 100% or 80% or 70%. It was really dependent on all these other factors. Just because their age number said 3 or 4 or 5 didn't mean that their brain was 3 or 4 or 5, or their language was 3 or 4 or 5. So that is really my favorite and thing that stands out to me about preschoolers is they still have so much learning and growing to do.
Oh yeah. And mine is actually pretty similar. So we talk in the first episode of the season about having like an expectation gap when we think our kids are able to do things that they're not yet. And so that's frustrating for us because it's like, come on, you should be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating for them because they're like, "I'm trying."
Yes.
Not consistently. But so that
my fingers won't do this.
Right. And like, I know I shouldn't hit, but I'm not great at impulse control yet. Like,
yes.
Yes. And so you're kind of getting that they have more time to develop. Maybe we need to check our expectation gap. Mm-hmm. But also the thing that goes along with that for me is, for a lot of their stuff, they're so much better at things than toddlers are.
Oh, yes.
That I have to remind myself, like, just because you can do that sometimes doesn't mean I can always expect you to do that. And I'm actually pretty sure I stole that from you. I'm pretty sure that is something you said to me, like, in passing. And that, like, okay, yeah, Sometimes you can get yourself dressed in the morning with no hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Not always.
Yes.
And it's not because you're being difficult to me, right? You're not being mean to me that day that you're having trouble getting dressed. It's like sometimes, but not always.
Yes.
And this preschool age is very much that way. There's so much you can do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And other times you're going to need some help.
Yeah, I definitely needed help this morning. I mean, yes. Yes.
It's tough.
All right. So this is the Sign of Parenting podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at the parenting component of this, right? Uh-huh. It's great to hear about and understand where our kids are at developmentally, but ultimately we want some practical stuff. We're like, okay, but I live with a preschooler. Like I'm raising one. Uh-huh. What am I going to do about that? So we got to partner with Iowa State professor, Dr. Diana Lang, who gave us access to her online open access textbook called Parenting in Diverse Contexts. And she has these really great one-liners. And so her one-liner for parenting a preschooler is to utilize creative and individualized strategies to guide children's desirable behavior patterns to become typical interactions. Okay, it's like a little long with like a little bit of like jargon and language and stuff. But to use, right, individualized to our kids and to be creative in how we do that, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to be flexible in what works for our child.
Yes.
And so we're going to be creative and individualized in our strategies in order to help them have, I mean, we say desired behavior, but really,
yes.
I mean, a lot of times people call it good and bad. But we know that what each parent thinks is good or bad varies. So exactly. What behavior you specifically desire for your kids in preschool, right? They're learning so much about those norms and rules. We're going to use those strategies to help turn that good or desired behavior into what normally happens for them. That's what we're really working on. We want those desired behaviors to become those typical interactions they have with friends, with us, with siblings, with people in the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because as they grow, they're not going to be with us 100% of the time. So correct. We want those behaviors to happen when we're not there too. So I kind of think of this as if I think about the, you know, the toddler types of parenting behaviors I had, then as a preschool parent, my goal, honestly, my task or my role during this time is to create some rules that effectively guide them, but also give them some space and opportunity to learn their own rules or like love and limits, right? So, so they get to practice their limits. They get to practice making their own rules within my limits, essentially.
Yes.
Yes.
It does go back to Ellen Galinsky's stage of parenting, right?
Yes.
And you know, we talked about that in the first episode this season of authority, that both toddlers and preschoolers, our job as parents is authority. But I think it's like it's different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's different to parent a toddler than a preschooler, but both related to authority. Like how would you differentiate them for people?
I think that's
different.
With my toddlers, I was very much, my authority was based on that safety area, like keeping them safe. And then as they grew into preschoolers, my authority was really more in that area of I'm going to set the end boundary and be okay with your choices in between because I really want you to practice making choices. And I really want you to have a safe space to practice your limits. And so, you know, I might make sure that I have you in a fenced in area on the playground, but I'm going to let you climb up the steps to the slide without me standing right next to you because I want you to practice those skills and be able to climb up and down the steps of the slide or the play set with ease. And those are things that you practice in preschool. So I think that's that different authority where I might set the end boundary and know that you have all of these opportunities in between that space to find success.
Totally. And I think of with my toddler, I have to like proactively, you know, I know toddlers benefit from choices and preschoolers too, but I have to really proactively do that with my toddler. Like, okay, we're having a hard moment. Do you want to put your shoes on or do you want me to help you? Right. And I have to like really, because I'm used to them being a baby and me just doing all of it for you. Mm-hmm. So in toddlerhood, I think a lot more proactively about those choices. And then, versus in preschool, I think a lot more about the like guidance of, mm-hmm. you know, guiding their behavior. And like you said, like wider boundary that you choose yes. within. So the choices yeah. do look a little different.
They do. They do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so should we share some quick strategies?
Yes, we've got some great strategies from the Center for Disease Control. The CDC has great positive parenting tips, and we're not going to cover all of them from there. We're going to choose a few that we think are really great just to share with you. Got to get practical here, right? For your reality, some strategies for you.
Yes.
So my favorite one of my favorite ones, I can never pick just one. One of my favorite ones is actually about how we guide and discipline our kids. We know that discipline is about teaching. And so we want to be clear and consistent in our expectations and our guidance with our preschoolers. We want to explain and show the behavior that we expect from them. And so when we do need to tell them no for something, right, we do need to set that limit, set that boundary, keep them safe, or whatever the reason might be. We want to follow up with what we expect and what we do want them to do instead.
Absolutely. Okay. So one of my favorite is letting them do simple chores, even if it's not the perfect way that we like it. Okay. So we have to step back as a parent and say, okay, they can match the socks. And even if they don't fold or ball them or whatever your, you know, way of matching socks happens, we're going to be okay with that because they're working on matching socks. So they can help us with simple chores, and we have to recognize that it might not be perfect. And we can go back and do it later as long as they don't see us, but allowing them the opportunity to practice those things.
Mm-hmm. And then my other two favorites that I really liked, one is a lot of problem solving with preschoolers, right?
Yes.
Especially when they're upset, mm-hmm. like helping them navigate, like you might be feeling, and sometimes it's asking like, are you feeling frustrated? Are you disappointed? Are you jealous? Right. Some of those more complicated feelings that preschoolers yes. can have, but that we're helping them problem solve and come up with ideas to do that. And then also another really simple one, which again, we did with toddlers, is giving them a limited number of choices, right? Like maybe 2 to 3, deciding what to wear, deciding when to play, what to play with, what to eat for snack, right? There's 2 choices. You can choose one of these. And so we're still offering lots of those choices because they're going to continue on this path as they gain more independence from us into school and stuff.
They are.
We want them to be able to practice making those choices themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one resource that we want to share with you, and the other strategies, we'll put those on our blog site.
Yes.
We'll put these resources on our blog site as well. But we love that we have been able to share the Just-in-Time Parenting newsletters with you. Remember, they're free. They come straight to your inbox. There's research on child development, practical strategies for you to use. They're super pretty. And they just are right there at your fingertips. You can get those at Just In Time Parenting. So it's JITP.info, and they come each month. And yep. we also want to let you know about an Iowa State resource called Ages and Stages. And these publications are from Iowa State Extension. And we mentioned these on the first episode, but we want to really put these in our blog for this particular week. They're wonderful, concise, written by one of our fabulous colleagues, and they look at some of the milestones of your children. And so take an opportunity to go download those. They're great because you can actually hand them out to others as gifts. Maybe they're gifts for your own family as they learn about the age and stage of your child. But we just want to make sure that we always share resources available to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can find all of those on our website. If you forgot, scienceofparenting.org, along that right-hand column, you can click right into preschoolers and get the ages and stages, information from Just-in-Time Parenting, and lots of other great stuff. So I think this brings us to our stop, breathe, talk moment with our producer. This is the portion of our podcast that's based on our flagship parenting strategy of stop taking a breath before we react. And instead we respond and speak with intention in our parenting.
Hello.
Hi, Ken.
All right. So I am here to ask a question that was asked in a workshop that we recently have. So Lori Ooh. Has actually already answered this question, and she had a really fabulous answer for it. So I actually wanted to ask that question and have
Please.
Her share her answer to it. So from okay. our workshop participant, she asked the question that she has a preschooler. I think she said 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. And yes.
every time that they go to the store, her preschooler wants everything and anything, right? She wants this, she wants that, and anything that she can't have, she throws a fit about. And I think if any of us have ever been in a store with a child, we've seen this happen, right? So do you have any advice on what a parent can do in that situation when my kid just wants everything and I can't give them everything and they're throwing a fit because they can't have everything?
And they have an intense temperament, right?
Yes.
So we've talked several different times, given a couple different strategies, and these strategies are based on that idea of practice. And so the answer that I gave was based on going to a store. So we're going to call this store Tango's, right? And so I said, well, you have the great brain availability of this three-year-old. Okay. So better than a toddler in terms of more connections in the brain, right? But still that not consistent emotional control. So you can say to your child, we're going to go to Tango's, and at Tango's, we're going to buy some towels. Let's say towels. So we're going to Tango's to buy towels, and your preschooler is, they have enough brain connections to be like, oh, I remember Tango's. It's got that big T. Yeah, T, ta, ta, ta. And you can do all kinds of learning, right, with that. So practicing. Okay, I actually know that I don't have to go to Tango's to get towels right this very minute. So we're going to practice just in case I actually have to leave Tango's without the towels. And so you can practice with the child. We're going to go to Tango's to get towels. Remember, what are we going to get there? We're going to get towels. Yes, that's right. So only towels. Yes, only towels. Okay. And you just have this conversation the whole way there. You get to the store and the child sees chocolate, toys, right?
With the
toys with a T. And so the child says, oh, but I want these toys. Oh no. Remember, we were going to Tango's to get towels, not toys. I love that. Thank you for that, team. And you can just have this dialogue over and over. And essentially, depending on our child's temperament, right? If they are able to stick to the towels at Tango's, you had practice and you got to leave with towels and you needed them, but maybe not just this moment, just in case, right? Or you can say, and we've talked about this in one of our season one episodes, you can begin to say, I can tell that you really want these toys, but remember, we were just coming to get towels. Now you can choose to walk on your feet instead of throwing a tantrum on the floor. Walk on your feet so we can go get towels, or we have to leave without towels. Okay. We're not even talking about the toys. We're going to talk about getting up on our own two feet, walking to get the towels and exiting the store with the towels, or not even maybe getting to walk on our own two feet because mom might have to pick you up and carry you back to the car with no towels, let alone no toys. Mm-hmm. But the idea behind that is practice. Practice when you know you don't need the necessity. Practice the conversation. You can, Mackenzie talked about having the housekeeping area for her preschooler to play with. Practice it at home in your housekeeping area. Yeah. Like, now we're going to pretend that we go to Tango's to go get towels. What happens if you see a toy? What do you say? Just towels,
just
mommy.
Towels.
Yes. Just towels. And so that's, just that idea that you as a parent have permission to practice. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get it right the first time. We don't expect our children to get it right the first time. So you as a parent have the right to practice.
And you're kind of practicing it together.
Yes.
It's practice for your kid, but also for you to know how to navigate those situations too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Another one that we do at our house to kind of, I try to get my preschooler and I on the same team regarding where we're going. Mm-hmm. And so we talk a little bit about how advertisements on a video or on something, they're trying to give us the gimmies, right? They want us to buy stuff. They want us to spend our money. And so we talk about that in the store, that sometimes they'll set something up to try to give us the gimmies. Uh-huh. And so we get on the same team of playing this little game of, before we go into the store, I know sometimes I see my favorite section in the store and they have it set up to try to give me those gimmies to get me to buy stuff.
I love
it. And so then if we get to that moment in the store, if there's a toy display or a certain food, if we're in the grocery store or something, it's like, oh, tiptoe, be careful for those guineas. They'll try to get you. But it gets us kind of on the same team. And there are times it doesn't work, right? Mm. There are times when it's like, mom, you know, please. Or if dad's with us or dad's there. And it's like, oh, I could just, it's like, oh, you know what we came to the store to get today? Towels, groceries. Mm-hmm. You know, we aren't here to buy snacks today. Be careful. Like, I think those gimmies might be getting you. And then sometimes it's almost a little defensive, you know, of like, they got to show like, they're not. The gimmies are not getting me. I was just talking about it.
I did it. Yes. I'm proud of myself.
Gets us on the same team.
Yes. That's great. I love it.
And there are always lots of gimmies. For some reason, at the best stores, they put the best clothes right close to the registers.
They do.
And there's always candy in the register, like in the line, right? So, yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the other thing that helps us is if my daughter would choose to come to the store with me, we might, you know, it also helps us practice a little bit of money sense of like, but having a consistent expectation of, if you'd like to help me buy some groceries or like to help me choose one thing, but less than this, right? Like, and then specialize to your family, right? Everybody's resources look a little different. And so, but trying to have that consistent, because one time I can expect my mom to say, sure, we're having a fun day. I'll buy that. Mm-hmm. And then the next time I'm with dad and dad's like, no, we're not. And then the next time mom says, why would you ask? And, you know, and so a little bit of consistency on like, if you're coming to the store, you can expect to either not buy anything, right? I'm going to be really clear with you about whether or not you can expect to get something extra.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Yes. Thank you for
great
sharing.
Great question.
Yes. Love that question. And from a real parent.
That's what I was going to say. And if anyone out there listening has questions, be sure to send them in to us, because I might use it on the podcast to stump our hosts, and who doesn't want to help you stump our hosts?
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Kenz. That's our little stop, pre-talk space. Slow down, think about the topic at hand, and kind of speak with some intention. So today we got to talk all about preschoolers and parenting them. We know they have so much development, like every stage, right? So much going on, learning a lot about kind of the norms and the rules of how things work. They're getting better with their body, right? Fine motor, gross motor, so much emotional and social development. And we know that, you know, we can set, like you said, love and limits, give them some choices, some independence, but also helping guide them and problem solve.
Yes. So next up, we're going to talk about that school age, the elementary age, or what is sometimes referred to as middle childhood. Yes. But in the meantime, thanks for joining us today on the Science of Parenting podcast. And remember to subscribe to our weekly audio podcast on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. Watch the show on video each week and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Science of Parents and see the content in your feed.
Absolutely. Please do come along with us as we tackle the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the research and reality all around the science of parenting.
The Science of Parenting is hosted by Lori Kothals and Mackenzie Johnson, produced by Mackenzie DeYoung, with research and writing by Barbara Dunn Swanson. Send in questions and comments to parenting@iastate.edu and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. For the full non-discrimination statement or accommodation inquiries, go to www.extension.iastate.edu/diversity/ext.